All right. All I did for the old business was took everything from the new business last month and put it in this old business. So we'll go over all that. This was out of last month, approved last month's minutes, so we actually have to approve those. First, we got a second to approve. All right, there we go. Last month's minutes have been approved. We talked about last month about purchasing a new vacuum and lawnmower. I know the lawnmower has been purchased. Have we purchased a new vacuum cleaner yet? Vacuums are purchased, so that's all taken care of?
What about the state vacuum, the second one?
I don't like we have a state vacuum. I don't know that anybody's ever used it. It's in the office over there. But it's older. What I suggested, though, to some of the people that have been chatting back and forth was that we just another week or so to look at the, like, kind of research them, because I think that it would behoove us to have a cordless state vacuum.
If you're not going to get cordless, I don't think it's worth it, because the one you bought is skinny enough to go between
the
fuses.
Well, that was kind of my next thing, was that the one that I bought was a little bit different than
I've ever seen it suggested now.
And actually, it swivels, and it's able to be able to go. Like, you could come this way and then make a 90.
Well, it works. I did it. I was the one that did it last week, and vacuuming is by far the longest part of the cleaning. And, again, it's up to y'all whether you want to spend the money, but having a stick vacuum to go, you know, because you can have one person going in and out between the fuse real quick, and then while the other person's vacuuming
the main parts.
It's as much having two different ones, you know, two separate ones, as much as it is a different one. But if we're going to have two vacuums, the stick one, cordless stick one makes sense.
My suggestion was cordless, just so that we don't have to drag cord all over the auditorium. I think you can have a reasonably priced one can be had for around under $100, I think. That's good.
It's already been approved. So.
Yeah. And it definitely make things easier, cordless, rather than, like you said, dragging that cord all over. Especially in between all the pews.
There wasn't a whole lot of, like, feedback. There was a couple of suggestions, but nobody really just jumped in, so I'm just going to
pick one that's got decent reviews, and that's kind of what
I'm going
to do. All right. Get one where you can replace the
I'll make sure I look at that one.
The one we have in our house, when you plug, it has a stand, and you plug it into the stand, it automatically recharges.
I'm thinking a full charge mount lasts this whole auditorium. You know, you may run out before it's done with all the
I don't know that they have four interchangeable batteries.
It won't cord it.
All of you.
We'll look more into it. Next thing on the list was...
We probably talked about this, but mowing the lawn, what exactly is expected? I mean, are we going to mow the back lot sometimes as a group, or...
Josh volunteered to do the back. From what I understand, we need to do the front, next to the road, and the side.
About that real quick. You can do the very front by the road with the ride, right?
It's just
the
front yard and the side.
Okay. Yeah, because Tommy, we appreciate it. He mowed that whole front too with the push mower, and so we can't. It's fine because it's not going to get water in the summer. It's just like the back, and so when he does the back, he can just and we'll weed it that front by the curb
side all the way down like the building here.
Yeah. Just this.
Yeah. You set aside and divert in the front lawn. And then the rest might need to be done maybe once a month with the riding lawnmower. In the summer, once it stops working.
The bushes will need to be trimmed. And there's a trimmer back there.
Somebody's doing that?
Yeah.
I got a trimmer I bought before I go on out, but it's a little longer.
All right, next thing we have on there is start Wednesday night service at 7 o'clock. I know, Stan, I know you put the survey out. Have we got the results from that survey?
If y'all filled the survey out, you noticed that the way I put it was not what you prefer, but how it would impact you to make a change. One of the things we kind of need to keep in mind as a group, that if we make decisions to change things, that it needs to be to benefit the entirety of the congregation. Well, there are some negative impacts to changing it to 7. The majority of individuals either did not care or would like to have it changed, but it would preclude some being able to make it to the Wednesday Bible class if we were to do that. Specifically, the Craig family, it would make it more difficult, and Robin Furtick and Monty Suttle both said that it would probably get where they couldn't either. And so, while we would like to, if possible, I think it's probably best if we not make the change at this point in time because of that.
Everybody agree with that? All right, so we'll put that as no, leave it the same as it is for now. Maybe look at it again in the future. Removing people from the directory. I know we talked about that last month. You said you could hide them rather than delete them.
Online directory.
So if they ever do come back, all you have to do is unhide them and they'll be there again. So.
Right. Now the print directory is a total shambles right now. It needs to be completely redone. But I think that is that's something that we want to do, right, for a few that prefer it. I think we've made that decision in the past, haven't we?
I don't think we need as many as we used to. Maybe a handful, maybe a half dozen or so.
But that's something else we could do, a quick survey to see who wants it. You know, I know my family, we don't need one.
No.
Because I got Cynthia hooked up with the app this morning. She was very pleasantly pleased. I didn't realize. But since that thing can be updated immediately, that's the way to go. Everybody has, or most folks have access.
Explain it to me.
Oh, that?
Yeah.
You haven't done it?
I guess not.
Oh, we need to get that
with you. Okay.
Yeah,
it's an app.
Yeah.
It's an app, yes. It's an app.
Very nice.
Yes. Got it, all the information's on there.
Very simple. But I know you go to the web page and go to remember there. Yeah.
No, that's the old way.
Yeah.
This is just an app. You just tap and it comes right up.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's too easy.
There it is.
I changed my picture.
What that shows me, Jerry.
I saw it.
Okay, all right.
You never look at the announcements up on the board.
You're not supposed to make faces on
you. I don't know any other way.
You made a question.
Thank you.
My daughter laughs at me because I don't know how to take a selfie. It's like, how do you do this? Hey, how do you push the button? I don't do it. All right. How many people at the table? Obviously, we take care of that for the last 3 weeks now, I think. We've been doing 3 people at the table. I've kind of been closely observing to see how it works. I believe it's working pretty good. Does anybody have any objections to just using 3? Does anybody have any feedback and notice that it's difficult or not working? I like I said, I've been observing it pretty closely to keep, to kind of watch, and I think it's been working pretty good. No problems. Dennis, you had something?
Well, we had a conversation this morning. Remember, this is my first time to do it, and one of the things that wasn't clear to me was we don't have a set way of who does the first, second, and third prayer. I think normally the head of the table is going to lead the first prayer.
Right.
But is that something that we just want to handle every Sunday, or instead of the
Sunday? I was gonna bring that up. I think whoever's number 2 will lead the opening prayer for the bread. Now, do we want to make it fixed every week that certain way, or do we want to leave it up to the man at the table to decide who's going to do the other 2 prayers?
Wouldn't it need to be done every week just because we don't want men who are not comfortable saying the prayer not coming up? We do want them to participate even if they don't want to say a prayer. So you would have to change it week by week depending on who you have.
Right. That's the discussion me and Dennis had this morning. I told him, well, there are a few people that aren't comfortable doing praying at the mic. And when those people are on the table, we would just have the other 2 people do the prayer. So I'm willing to leave it just for the 3 men who are up there to decide among themselves who's going to do what prayer, with the exception that whoever's number 2 will do the opening prayer, announce, the table.
No,
and think
there's no particular reason to eat into that either. if for some reason they'd rather do a different one. But what we should say is, number two on the table, who would introduce or do scripture or whatever in the world they want to do, is the person in charge of making sure
that all three
people know who are doing the prayers.
Would it be okay? He gets a little busy sometimes, you know, between Bible classes and worship services. Just let the head of the table call on by just nodding to the person to the right or left to lead the prayer.
I don't have a problem with that. Just kind of look at them and ask them to say the prayer. Does anybody have a problem with that? And then and I think most of us know the ones who are uncomfortable giving a prayer, and we just would not ask them to give a prayer. Is everybody comfortable with that? Agree with that?
Seems the best way.
Okay. And if you do have a chance to do it beforehand, you could. You know, like Paul, we kind of talked about this morning that you asked me if I do the prayer for the bread and I the palm. So, and it was one more thing I was going to change for Jerry. I was going to change the numbering system to 1, 2, 3 instead of 1, 2, 3.
We will agree with the rest of the Western world.
the rest of the Western world will start with the. As you look at the front, we'll start number one on the left, from left to right.
You know why it's like that, don't you?
Because we face the audience.
Because when you're facing the audience, it's the Western way. It's left to right.
And now, when we had four, it mattered a little bit more. Because the two center people did the prayer. But now that we've down to three, it really don't matter if you end, switch, or whatever. So
you should stand in a single line.
Well, for years there were numbers on the pew.
But for future reference, I'm going to number it left to right as you look from the back of the auditorium.
It's not a picture to the little picture you posted.
Josh said he was going to work on a little picture for us.
Well, yeah.
That's an old picture.
If you're standing looking at the deal, you would be 1, 2, 3 this way, right?
If you're looking, yes. One is on this side.
Confusing it's going to be.
Yes. One is on this side.
Whoever number one is, number one gives for the thanks for the bread.
No, that number two does. They're
always number two, either way.
Number two does. Because number two is always in the middle.
Yeah. All right, good. We're all adults. We can figure it out.
All right, onward. Onward. It's old business. We talked about adding Jerry to the bank account. That still needs to be done. No rush on that. No immediate rush. There's three of us on there now. We will eventually, whenever we give a chance to go to the bank to do that. Like I said, there's no rush. We're going to add Jerry eventually when we get a chance. For new business. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jerry.
Stick my hand up first.
Go ahead.
I just want to know, we had some checks. I wasn't here last month. We had some checks outstanding that Brad had written. Did they ever come through? You know, how much did they work?
It's all taken.
For the work out front, did he?
Yeah, it was 8,000, like 200 something. That included the cement footing
around the trees.
It included the cement footing at the edges of the parking lot, and then the stonework in front of the rose bushes.
So we know what our balance is now. We finally got it all set up.
Do we want to start doing a financial reading at the?
And by the way, every month, the first Sunday of the month is I post the information. That report I print doesn't. There's all kinds of reports.
Okay, that's okay. We can move on.
Yeah,
but supposed to. We can look at it.
So. Reddit. Go on.
That was the end of the old business.
Dick has
the
end of it.
Oh, Dick, you have something to say?
The old business. We sent out a letter to Jerry and Brad Galvin about. Not there in San Diego, the souls are in jeopardy, you know. And I assume we haven't heard anything that they've depended.
No, I didn't really expect a feedback on that.
Yeah, with regard to that, there has been no contact from them. I do want everyone to be aware of the fact that they have started another congregation, and that congregation has a name. It's the Tri-Lakes Church of Christ Northwest. They're meeting in a municipal building in Lake Worth. They have a website, and an interesting website, as well as, I think, a Facebook page. But And there's no more interaction that they're interested in at all. I think that I'm aware of. I think maybe perhaps it's time for us just to acknowledge to the congregation that they are not willing to repent for what they've done, and we should acknowledge the fact that they're not in good standing. But there's not. When they made it very clear that they're satisfied with where they are and what they're doing, and are putting it as a positive thing, the starting of a new congregation. So that's where they are.
I have heard, and I know a couple members that have been asked to like the webpage. So be aware of that. Somebody who's attending there may reach out to you to like their Facebook page, or I know Laura was asked to like it.
Well, she several did not. Have liked it.
Yeah.
That means nothing. Facebook means nothing. But I'm just to note the fact that they have started another congregation.
Yeah. Because that's how I found their webpage, because I know Laura was asked to.
So the next step is, what do we do about this? I mean, we had those that have left us, and it was strife. And they split the church, you know. I mean, this is not something that they just hem-haw about, you know. I mean, this, we know that according to, and that's including not just Jerry and Brad Goldman, but those that left in strife. Now, some of them left in ignorance, I guess you might say, not knowing things like that and others, but... But we do have those, and we just can't sit around and do nothing about it. We don't want to do like we did with when Bobby Holmes and Tom Roberts were false teachers, which I thank God every once in a while that they did come to the knowledge of truth, especially with Bobby Holmes before he deceased. But so many caught up in the friendship fellowship thing, you know, the center of of friendship, fellowship. Well, yeah, and we could show be friends and just because they're an heir that we accept them, like we did with Bobby Holmes and Tom Roberts. And all of these that left are friends. I mean, they're my friends, everybody's friends. I miss most of them, you know, like that. But we don't want to be caught up in the friendship, fellowship thing, you know, because they're in.
As we discussed last month, there's nothing really we can do on a group level.
Congregation, what we do with each other, you know.
I mean, as a personal level, I mean, you could reach out to any one of them and try to bring them to repentance. But
that's the first thing you do. We're not talking about that.
Well, as a group, we discussed last month that there's really nothing else we can do.
I mean, do you understand what friendship fellowship is?
Vic, yeah. We've taught on that and commented on that several times. In fact, in the last few classes, what else are you suggesting we do?
Who's talking?
Josh. We've mentioned that, in fact, in recent Bible classes, of what our responsibility is towards those who are in sin. And you're right, we don't have a right to fellowship with those in sin. But what are you suggesting we need to do more besides teaching on it in our classes? And when it comes up in lessons, what's your suggestion?
Well, I mean, like we had two sermons today that to be applicable to this, you know, for them. Not preached that way, but they sure were applicable. But we can't sit around here and I mean, I don't know how people find out about this information or what they're doing. But I don't mean about the news. Congregations that was on Facebook, but you know, like in the personal work, we have the list of those, you know, and sometimes we have the list on there, some that are not members of church, or some that are wayward. That doesn't mean we don't pray for them, but the thing we first send you before we pray for their health is praying. Pray for their souls, you know. Like we have Bob Ward on here. I mean, yeah, that's all right, but we should pray for his soul first, because he was one that really was left in strife, you know, and everything. And
we don't. There are two things to note here that I think are important. The first I mentioned is that I do believe that there is a statement that we need to make to the congregation with regard to Jerry and Brad, because we specifically accused them of sin. And they're unrepentant in that sin. They need to be. It needs to be noted that they're unrepentant in that sin, and that we, as a congregation, acknowledge that and mark them as such. But with regard to the other individuals, as far as the motivation as to why they left the congregation, I can't say that they're guilty of sin. That they were not in good conscience able to fulfill the duty that we felt we had to do, so they determined to worship elsewhere. I'm not satisfied with it, but we didn't charge them with sin. And unless or until individuals go to them and talk to them and find that they are indeed in sin, I'm not willing to mark them. I don't think it's right for us to mark those individuals. Jerry and Brad were the instigators of this, and they were the problem, and that needs to be acknowledged. As far as praying, I pray for every single one of them every single day, whether I put it on a piece of paper or not. That's being done, and it should be being done by all of us. So as a congregation, I don't know that there's anything more that needs to be done other than for us to acknowledge that Jerry and Brad are not in good standing with the Lord.
A statement has been put on our Facebook page. A letter has been sent to them personally. I don't see anyone else.
We do need to let everyone in the congregation know that they have not responded, and they're not going to be willing to repeat. It needs to be understood that this is where they are. They're gone. They're gone. In that regard, we need to acknowledge the fact that and with any individual, if anyone comes back, we need to talk to them about it and make sure that they're right. But we're doing that already. We're doing that already.
Well, no, but I mean, they left in strife and split the church. And that's not sin. I don't know what it is. Some of them did, you know. And we know from the scriptures. Philippians 2:3 says, let nothing be done through strife. And 1 Corinthians 3:3, for where there are strife and division among you, you are carnal. And Galatians 5:20, strife is working of the flesh.
We're all in strife, but does that mean we're all in sin for being in strife? Those that left, not with the exception of Bob Ward, none of them stood up and said anything, so I can't say that they're in strife necessarily. They just were sheep.
And those that
will.
Let me finish here.
I'm sorry.
And those that left us, they split the church and they've done wrong. And Colossians 3:5 says, those that do wrong will be repaid for what they've done. And there's no partiality. That is with God. And they certainly have done wrong when those that left the strife and those that they split the church, whether you want to admit that or not, but they did.
Not everyone who leaves is splitting the church when they're leaving.
Well, I didn't blame all of them.
Are you going to be the arbiter as to who did?
No. I mean, when Lord says, it's a mob, calls us a mob, and all that, and things like that.
I don't think anybody here knows. Bob repented of that. Nobody here knows if Bob went, prayed and repented what he said. We don't know if he has or not. We haven't had any. I haven't personally talked to him about that. Just like Stan said, just because you leave one congregation doesn't.
But there's a different way that you leave. You leave in strife and split the church. That's different.
Dick, what are you talking about us doing?
I'm talking about that we're not to treat them as because we don't necessarily mark them, I guess, because they're not us, but don't treat them as if they're long like buddies, and you contact and talk about the time of day or whatever,
Think about
the
so. I don't think anybody.
You're saying that we should make an announcement to the congregation, basically identifying that all of the people that left should be treated the same way you would treat someone who had been withdrawn from?
As far as the drawing room, you can't draw from somebody that needs.
I'm saying treat them like that. I'm saying treat them like that. Like you're saying, don't eat with them, don't greet them, and things like that. And so what people are saying here is that they do not feel comfortable going to that extent with everyone. They look at somebody like Chris Chanley, and they say to themselves, I couldn't do that with her because I don't think that she has done something worthy of that. And so some people say Brad and Jerry have, some people say Bob also has, but we don't have unanimous agreement across all of the people that left. So it's hard to have a unanimous action.
That's one of the problems of what I'm talking about is that we know that this isn't something I call it ignorance, like we were with Chris, it would be sad. She got caught up there. I don't know about Dorothy, but and others, they got caught up in loving their parents or whatever. The scripture's on that.
We'll make it simple. What is to be done if you believe that Bob falls into that category and other people here do not?
What do we do? Well, we didn't do anything when all those the elders, PA and Jerry and Jack Goldman, when they compromised the truth, said we're not going to mark these false teachers. You didn't call them false teachers, but we're not going to mark them. So we called their own Tom Roberts, and the reason he did that, that when they got up on the pulpit and said we're not going to mark them, and those who had talked to him probably know that the reason they weren't going to mark them because members of the church were going to leave if they marked Bobby Holmes and Tom Roberts. That was back in 2006. You know, we don't want the same thing happen here. I mean, you can't be treating them as if they belong with us.
Dick.
Josh.
Let me say one thing. Or ask a question. Let me pose a question. Stan, when we, in your opinion, if we were going to make a statement to the congregation, which we should do by all means, about Brad and Jerry being unrepentant and not responding to our letter from the church, in that same comment, would we not also say that they've begun a new work and we do not, I mean, I know it's not our place to recognize, I don't know how you would phrase it, but wouldn't we make known to the members that they have started a new work? It's not, you know, because they are in sin, we can't go along with what they are or whatever, and that would kind of blanket cover everything? I don't know. I'm just searching for a simplistic solution.
But again, what we're discussing here is hashing over things that we've already made some determinations on. We've talked about the fact that...
Yeah, we have.
Did what?
He said, no, we haven't. I said, we have.
Yes, we've already discussed those. What I'm talking about is our discussion last month about the fact that an individual, if they were to come back, it would have to be an acknowledgement that the wrong decision was made on their part for them to be received back. There is not going to be any of those kinds of interactions because they're not coming back. I am not going to treat any of those individuals. That's my responsibility as an individual, as someone who everything is hunky-dory with. By the way, going back, Dick, we did mark Bobby Holmes. Tom Roberts came about much later in regard to that. But Bobby Holmes we did mark, preached a lesson on it. And we ceased our fellowship with him as a result of what he was teaching.
Well, you marked him. You marked him.
But I'm saying that as a congregation, it may not be that everyone acted the way they were supposed to act in that regard, but there's been an acknowledgement last month in men's business meeting that we would act as we should with regard to those individuals because we love them and care for their souls. We're not just going to let bygones be bygones. So we all agree with regard to that. But as far as saying that every single person who left is guilty of strife and division, I cannot say that. I can say, and I think that we should say, with regard to those who are the instigators of the problem, which is Jerry and Brad, that needs to be acknowledged. It's far as with that, my personal statement with that, Josh, your question is, you know, fellowship is not congregational. I don't know that we need to bring that up, other than maybe informational, that there is a, that, you know, they started another group and they're worshiping on their own, and there's no interest on their part to make things right or for us to reconcile. And just leave it at that. Yep. We are identifying those men as having done damage to our congregation. As a result of that, they need to repent. That is the marking. And again, when we talk about discipline, saying you can't withdraw from somebody who's already left, well, that may be so, but that doesn't change our responsibility. Right. We fulfilled our responsibility when we sent that letter out saying, just because you left doesn't mean that we are not concerned about your soul and want to repent. We were as kind in the statement of that as we possibly can. It's been rebuffed. So let everyone in the congregation know that they're not willing to repent. And let us go on and start working for the Lord. I think that's what we need to be doing. But everybody's in agreement with you, Dick. We don't want to just gloss over sin that's present.
Yeah, well, what I brought up is, what are we going to do?
Determined last month. We're not going to accept them back without the acknowledgement. We're going to pray for them. If we have an opportunity, we're going to work with them if we can, if we have an opportunity to do so.
Right.
We're going to write the letter to Brad and Jerry, and we are going to make a public statement if Brad and Jerry do not recant what they've done.
But you should, those that live, not treat them as if they didn't do anything.
Yeah. We're not doing that. I've contacted just about every one of them let them know that what they're doing is not right.
You can contact about what you've done. I'm talking about the examples at the dinner.
I don't think anybody's doing that.
Nobody's doing it. We expressed in the last meeting that nobody's going to do that. Not just to receive them on social occasions like nothing's happened, because there's been damage done. They need to repent of that. No one's.
I just know how they did it last time. By the way, they all just look up there on the fathers, and we have not marked
none of those
for Tom Roberts.
And none of those men are here anymore. None of them are here anymore.
Right. But I mean, that's and getting the same thing again, you know.
Nobody's doing that. I've got confidence in the men of this congregation and in this group that that's not going to happen. And if it does, I'll call it out personally.
So what about the women then?
That's part of the statement that we'll make. And I'll tell you what, if everyone will allow me to do so, I will write a statement to be read to the congregation. We can get the approval of the men on that statement, and that way everybody in the congregation will know about our responsibilities to them.
Okay, so agree with that? So yes. To be clear, you're saying that you're going to make a statement that is both about Jerry and Brad's response or lack thereof to the letter, and a more generic statement about treatment of all those who left.
Yeah, be concerned about their welfare and to treat them as individuals, that not to just gloss over the differences that we've got, that these things need to be reconciled if possible. I don't have a problem doing that if everyone wants me to do it.
Everybody okay with that? Everybody good with that? All right, and Stan, you want to bring that next month, or you want to bring that? There's a short meeting sometime in between.
That's over with. They are willing to meet for just a few moments next Sunday night. I'll have it ready for
you. All right, so we'll put that in. The next Sunday night, we'll have a quick meeting, listen to the statement that Stan prepared, and we'll approve it or make changes to get it to where we can approve it at that time.
Well, I want to wait another month for that. I mean, it should be something.
He said next Sunday.
Next week.
Next Sunday. Okay.
All right. That's new business. I didn't have much new business, so I guess jotted down a couple of things that I know we've been talking about. I already talked about fixing the alarms. Stan mentioned that they came here once. Did some work. It didn't seem to work, but they did. But they're scheduled to come back here pretty soon.
They'll be back Tuesday. And the only other thing we really need to do with regard to that, the internal motion sensors still aren't working, so they're going to fix that and change out all the batteries. The perimeter is secure, so that any door that is open sets off the alarm after a delay. The only other thing is the decision, if we want to make a decision to change the code, if everyone wants to do that, then I'll change the code out, let everyone know what the code is, who has keys and have access, so that can, and then we'll be finished with that part of it. So does everyone, do you think that we do need to change the codes?
I believe we do.
I agree. Sure. I've got the rekeying kit that came in yesterday, so I'll start slowly but surely changing some of the less used locks first, so that they don't affect anybody. And then once I do the last ones, I'll reissue keys when I change them, so that everybody's.
And that's the next thing on the list, because I know we talked about that last month, about getting a rekeying kit.
Yeah, I'm gonna send a text out saying the code has been changed, and text and on Facebook the code has been changed. Nobody try to get in until you get the new code from me after that point in time, and I'll try to. I have little slips of papers I'll share with everybody next time I'll see them, but I'll get that done sometime this week.
Right. And Josh, you just talked about the next one being keying the kids. Keys, you can start with the height of back doors, right?
I'll do these ones that nobody ever uses first, then, just to get them done, and then I'll work around the ones that are. That way, if it takes me a week or so, I'm not missing anybody over.
Okay. Anybody have a problem with that? Okay. The last thing I have on the list is looking for a volunteer. when the Texas Bank, this branch closes, I would prefer not to make the deposit anymore, because the next branch is a pretty decent distance from my house. I'm looking for any volunteers that.
What bank is it?
This branch is closing in April.
What's the bank?
Texas. Bank of Texas? The one we use?
Texas.
Where is it? Huh?
Where is it?
Oh, the one one is closing is right here in River Oaks.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Is that Texas Bank? Yeah. Where's the bank there?
Bank of Texas?
Across the post office.
Right, that one's closing. That branch is closing.
They're closing.
Where is the next available branch?
How about I just take care of it, because there's one right on the way.
The next one is
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if the same key is going to work in that building as this building.
I can stop by and get that.
And I will continue to make the drop-offs until this branch closes. But like I said, I'm not even sure where the other branch is.
Do you know where the other branch is?
No, Josh. Josh. Okay, as far as I have, that's all I had. Is there any other new business anybody wants to
talk about? What's the key policy? I don't even know what the key policy is.
There's no policy?
All policies are gone. I don't know what the old policy was. I never had one.
The old policy was just whoever Brad Dean needed a key, I guess. All the details had keys and cleaning personnel.
I think whoever needs one, we should give one to.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
But obviously, if we're going to start cleaning, we need that.
Right, exactly. People clean, even people doing yard work probably have one. I mean, if you want to, you know, come in and wash up or whatever. I mean, so. Yes.
Are you through? It used to be that when Brad was here, that there's a couple of times the police wanted to come down here for an alarm going off or checking, and that was the nearest one that they would call to come out and knock the doors for them. Is there anybody now that's listed at Westworth Police Department?
You're still listed. You're still listed.
I still don't have a key.
I know.
I can come down and look at it.
They call Eddie.
I think Stan's listed from the alarm company as the contact.
Okay.
I think I am also. I got to call you.
Okay. You are too?
Okay. So, you're going to be listed on the fire police department.
And we could get you a key, Eddie. And that's
what it don't matter to me, because I'm usually home.
Okay. We could get you a key, because the ones from the cleaning people have been returned. So, I think we do have a key laying around.
The two that they brought back already.
Oh, you already issued? Okay. All right. So when we rekey the doors, we'll make sure you get one of the new keys.
So y'all want to keep it like it is? You don't need to be called by the police.
No, we'll probably change that to. Well, I'm closer than you are.
That's fine. So. I'm just trying to make sure there is somebody.
I don't want them to bother you at 1 in the morning. I'm up here working.
No, I usually tell them to call Stan.
Unless somebody else would rather be called from the police department, Westworth Police Department, I don't mind being.
That's fine.
One of you. I think we should have
a couple of you. Yeah, at least two if you're not home.
Right.
Anybody else have any other?
Hopefully it's going to be real quick. There's a lot of limbs and stuff out in the yard still. It'd be real nice if we had a cleaning day outside, get some of that cleaned up so it'd be easier to cut the grass and stuff. I know you must have run into it when you were cutting the seeds.
I threw it all of my cut over to the side.
Comes, I saw the couple of people over and I picked them up through. Yeah.
Do we not have a work day set?
Not set, no.
The next one's in April.
Yeah.
I don't think we're doing that a separate one.
We just need one for the outside. We've been doing one for the inside.
I think the last time. The,
it could be anywhere.
Main focus, just a work focus outside. Okay. Yeah.
And if we're if we're aware of it, we could be more prepared to do outside work next time.
Right.
In April.
I didn't do anything inside last time.
There's a lot of little repairs that need to be done on the building.
Huh?
There's a lot of little repairs that need to be done.
Right.
I've got several small things that need to be dealt with real quick.
Okay.
First of all, I've got two spring meetings coming up, so I'll need someone to fill in preach on the 24th of March and the 28th of April, as well as dealing with my duties on Wednesday evening, which basically is just the announcements, if an invitation talk, if it's not designed. So the first one is March 24th, which is 2 weeks from today. So I need someone to preach then. And that's the fourth, but not the final Sunday, so both sermons will need to be filled. I'm not sure about the 28th.
Well, it's the last Sunday. It's a singing night, isn't it?
It's a five week. So there'll be two sermons that with that time and the next one.
Let's make it singing night.
So if men are willing to, tonight or the next, if you will tonight, let me know that you're willing to. If I don't get some volunteers, I'll be seeking people out. But there's that.
24th and when's the second?
24th and the next one is the 28th of April. As far as the so that will only be one sermon that night. But also my duties on Wednesday need to be taken care of. I'm not teaching, so that won't be involved. And that's also Bible class. I'm going to have to get someone for Bible class as well. So if you want to do it, let me know. Otherwise, I'll be asking men, and I don't mind asking men about that.
I'll take your announcements on Wednesday, so that's fine.
Okay. Appreciate that. Okay, Iron Gospel meeting with Tim Stevens. He finally got back with me specifically with the date, May 11th through the 16th. It's a week later than what we typically do it, but he had a conflict. Basically, I just want the approval of the men to do the basic things I always do with the cards and all that kind of stuff is advertised. And if anyone has any other suggestions, I would suggest that by the next business meeting that you have them ready as to what we can do as far as the getting the gospel meeting advertised and such.
I think the easiest way would be, is does anybody have any objections to putting out cards like we normally do?
Okay, so. The second Sunday is what we have for the last 2 months had for the men's meetings. Is that something we want to continue so that I can kind of make sure every second Sunday that I've got that? Okay, we also need someone to chair the next meeting because we didn't do that this last time. We need to do that every time before we leave. Let's get someone else
in. Any volunteer for next month?
Gordon. Chris is in.
But a new business before we go to that, but when Brad and his wisdom and knowledge and set up the security thing there, that we had these drills for a tornado or fire or terror, so to speak. And it'd be wise if we got back and have those drills when those things do come up.
I think we have maps that are just our evacuation plans that we have for our insurance company, and they're still posted, I believe. But we don't necessarily have to drill them. I mean, that's just something that they were big on. I think everybody pretty much knows. Get up and out.
The fire valves, they bring it, three times or something, one thing? And
it was just five bells would mean there was something going on, and somebody's going to make an announcement from the back. That's why we have a lobby duty, guys. They're going to know what's going on. They're going to stop services and say, hey, we need to evacuate.
If somebody's ringing a bell during services, we need to make it pretty easy to figure out something's going on.
Is making doing drills, running drills and all that.
Well, you don't evacuate when there's a grenade.
Well, obviously, if that was the case, they wouldn't say evacuate. They would say take shelter in the hallway. I mean, I'm sorry. I wasn't more specific.
We can take a quick vote if you want. Does anybody think we need to continue to do the drills that we started?
At the very least, it has been a while since we've talked about it. It might do good to just make a refresher announcement. Hey, in this event, we go here. In this event, we go out. Simple. Keep it ready. At the very, very least,
I could put it on the announcement sheet for next Sunday just to make a quick announcement.
I can put it up on the board.
I know.
Just have it rolling. I'll do that. That way we don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
Thank you. I was going to say, we don't need to do that during church. You can put something out on the front table or something. Yeah.
Guess I'll put one of the slides.
I'll put it up. I'll take a picture of the evacuation, say, face, go to here, and face.
You know, it'd be different if we had like a congregation of 500 people or something. We got like 60, 70 people max. Like, if one guy from the back can't handle, like, we got problems.
Yeah, it is a smaller group.
Regarding my new business, there's one other point that I want to make, and then I'll be finished, and that is we need to get some preachers for future meetings. I read a list of a lot of men last time that I've got on my list that we can utilize. No one has come to me with any other suggestions or any preferences. We need to start contacting some of these men and get scheduled for a little while in advance. And so if you have any suggestions, please let me know about any man specifically. But I would like some approval to be able to go and try to talk to some of these men and see if there any of them have some openings available.
Well, is there any objections? We already approved the meeting, so I wouldn't see if there'd be any objections to contacting men to see if they could do the meeting. Does anybody have any objections to?
No.
Stan contacting other preachers to hold a meeting for us in the future.
Right, but what preachers, I mean, can you put the list of preachers' names there in the minutes?
He already did.
We were talking about it.
They were in the minutes before.
Yeah.
They were published on the back wall.
Yeah, they
okay.
You could maybe post a shorter list of people who are maybe.
I'll print up a list and hand it out to everybody. How about that?
Let's post on the board.
Yeah,
I
think it'd be good.
Okay.
That'd be great. It does need to get the food.
Anybody wants to take over the minutes?
The last thing we have to do is we haven't had a volunteer for next month's meeting.
There's another thing I wanted to bring up about those high-tech people here to help take some of the burden off of Stan, right?
If they're willing.
I volunteer to chair next month's meeting, and I'm going to be a chair.
Yeah.
All right, so Josh Goggins will.
At this point of order, the way meetings like this are supposed to go is if you have not brought your new business to the chair before the meeting, it does not get brought up. Except to add it for new business for the following meeting.
Well, this month, like Stan said, it was kind of last minute. Nobody, I kind of volunteered to Tommy Wednesday that I would do it. But
I will be sending out an email prior to next month's meeting, 2 weeks in advance, with the agenda. And
if anybody wants to add to it,
plenty of time for people to add to the agenda.
Yeah.
And we'll move on from there. And I will run the meeting if you're supposed to run the meeting.
Josh, would you give us a quick prayer before we leave, and then we'll be here.
Please bow. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time asking that you be with us as we prepare to leave this place, that you continue to guide us as the simple men and creations of yours endeavor to make the decisions that would further your work here in this place and make decisions that would be in accordance with thy will and teachings, and that we might do those things for the good of all of your children that are here. We ask, dear Heavenly Father, that as we are brought together in this meetings that we might have patience with one another and that we might see the end goal of all of this journey that we have here on earth, which is heaven, and keep heaven in our focus and our goals that we might attain someday. We take this time to thank you for all the many blessings that you've given us, your son especially, who came and died on the cross and now has forgiveness of our sins. We ask that you guide, guard, and direct us in all the things that we do in this life. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.